Rupam Sanatan. We're residing. And there Lord Chaitanya, of course, called Rupam Sanatan to his side. But they left after some time to join in Vrindavan, or to go to Vrindavan to join him. But at that time also, the river Padma was quite close to Ramkeli. Padma is the main branch of the Ganga, actually not the one that goes through Mayapur. It's a, say the main branch, but it's the big branch, which goes through Bangladesh. So Mahaprabhu was there with many of his followers at that time, and they were having big kirtan and song, and he told that Nityananda, that tomorrow I would deposit my prema in the river Padma. I will put my full prema into this river, and this prema will then be absorbed by, well, actually what was happening was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the kirtan was chanting Narada, Narada, Narada. Everyone was wondering, who is he referring to, this topmost person in Narada, it's topmost person. So then the Lord revealed who this was, said to that person, will, when he takes bath in this holy Vashi Padma Rati, personified, appear before the Lord. And he said, this praying, which I will deposit in you, or have deposited, later on that will be given to this great devotee named Narottam. And you will recognize his presence, you will feel ecstasy when he bathes in your river, in your waters. Be assured that Padma would have a great opportunity to have the great devotee Narottam bathe in your waters in the future. So when Chaitanya jumped into the river, he went into the river banks overflowed, and he deposited his prema in that river. And later on, when Narada himself bathed in that river, he was very dark, his complexion was darkish. But when he bathed in that river, and at that time also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he passed away many years before, appeared before him, embraced Narada. His body turned into molten gold. His body form became completely gold, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was like the embodiment, well, he was the embodiment of Lord Chaitanya's praying. Yes, and as well as the ecstasy of Nityananda. A very special person. And even when he left the world, of course, it was long story, but I'll try to remember some other points. When he left the world, he also went into the river Padma. And he actually, when he decided to leave, he asked his devotees, his disciples, to come with him and to, with their hands, pour the waters of the Ganga or the Padma over him. He was still there in the river. So they went in, they knew what he was doing. So they started to pour this water over him with their cupped hands. And as the water was poured over his head, his body started to melt and turn into milk. And slowly his body was melting as milk was flowing into the river Padma. And eventually his body just disappeared. There was nothing but milk. So the devotees then took that milk, of course, that worshipful form. They established the samadhi. Milk samadhi. Good. Of Narottam. So in this way he passed away. I said, uniquely enough, his role in the spiritual was the last Manjari, or Champaka Manjari, sometimes both are mentioned, but as Champaka Manjari or the last Manjari, Champaka Manjari, she's the chief assistant in boiling the milk for Radha and Krishna. That was her main service in the spiritual world. Things are very simple, very simple. Always, you know, there's nothing complicated, not like this world. And just boiling the milk is the topmost service. We don't take it very seriously in this world. We think, what is that? We should do something useful, like collect money or whatever, something valuable, something important. But it's not interest. No one's interested in that in the spiritual world. They're interested in other simple things which bring pleasure to Krishna. So that was his, in this world, his Narottam. But in Goloka, his role as either Vilas or Champaka Manjari, simply boiling the milk. Simple service. And we, of course, we don't have that consciousness. We have a different set of, what's the word? Understanding. So anyway, we'll sing this song, and then we'll talk a little more about it if we can. You have it on the board somewhere. Yaya Nido Pray Madonna. We have some sheets or something like that. Are there any cartels? Are there any cartels? These are a bit big. Are there any smaller ones? Is it the bhajans? Little ones.
Ah. Kabira. Chakravarti. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishnu Vishnu Bhakti Vedanta Swamati Namaste Sarasvati Devam Gauravam Pachami Nirvasesha Samaradi Bhakti Chari Shitani Om Jnana Tamandasya Vinanjana Shlakaya Chakshara Nirvatam Yena Tasmai Shri Vedavinu Vanchakalpatru Vistapi Vasindivirucha Patitanam Bhavanevya Vaishnavevya Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama. Also interesting, when Lord Chaitanya was there at the banks of the Padma with Nityananda and many other devotees, Nityananda, he was so much attracted by that place. He wanted to stay there. Lord Chaitanya told him, no, he had to come. He had to preach in Bengal. Couldn't stay there then. But later on he said, you will come back here and you will, this personality that I've mentioned, Narottam, it will be your duty to take him to the banks of the Padma when that time comes. In other words, Nityananda was the guru of Narottam, in that sense, on the higher plane. And thus he received that ecstasy of Nityananda in that way. So later on, of course, Narottam had that dream. In his dream, Nityananda came in the dream and told him to, next morning, the sun was rising, to go down to the Padma and take his bath, and there he will receive Krishna Prem. He will receive the full mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is, we already mentioned a little bit about what happened. So Narottam, he was born, as we mentioned, more or less the same time as Mahaprabhu left the world. He never actually saw him in terms of, we could say, airplane. And he was born in a very rich family in Khajuraho Gram in Bangladesh, on the banks of the Padma. His father, Krishnanand Raj, was like a king. He was just his mother, Narayani. They were like royalty, but they were not born in royal families, but they were Kayastas, but they become powerful like kings. They were like Vaishya type, very powerful, just like kings, extremely rich. So he was born into great opulence. They said that when he was born, he had all the signs of a Mahapurush. Mahapurush is the, basically those who were not of this world. They may appear in this world. He had very long arms and beautiful lotus eyes. And all of his features were very beautiful. So it immediately indicated when he was born. The fact in this Anaprashna ceremony, when the first grains were to be given, very interesting, he turned his head away in disdain when the parents were trying to give him his first grains. He wouldn't touch them, he refused to eat them. And only sometime later, shortly later, one great Vaishnava was passing through and he was just offering prasad, offering bhoga, distributing prasad. So as soon as he offered some of the prasad grains to Narottam, Narottam immediately accepted it. And his parents realized that their son would not accept anything unless it was offered to Krishna, even though he was only a few months old. So even as a child, he was said to be a Srutidhar. Srutidhar is one who can, by looking or hearing things, once remembers. Nowadays, very few people remember even a few moments later what was said a few moments before. Very few people. Their span of attention and ability to remember is very reduced. They say, but he was Srutidhara, genius, studied. And he was very learning Sanskrit, so many things as a child, and also hearing about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in those days, and followers of Lord Chaitanya, and the father of Lord Chaitanya just passed on, so it was quite common to hear about Mahaprabhu at that time and the teachings of Mahaprabhu. So he grew up like this, but he seemed to show very little signs of interest in material life. And after he had eventually, of course, when he took a bath in the river Padma, and his body transformed into, literally, eventually it turned into liquid praying when he departed. But he was an embodiment of praying, Gauranga praying. And his body had turned gold. So that day when he went to bathe, he didn't turn to come home. He was just dancing like a madman, singing, rolling on the ground like a madman. His parents sent search parties. Eventually they found him. He looked different because he was now golden. Before he was dark in complexion. They brought him back home and they didn't know what to do with him. He was like mad. He wasn't the same. All he could do was chant and dance and pretty much just screaming the holy names of the Lord. And they thought he'd gone mad or something. Even some local people were called in. They said that he's suffering from a serious imbalance of the airs within his body. And they should rub some special oil on him. Bring one fox and he should eat the fox. And Narottam began to laugh and to describe how mad this was. Well, of course he preached and he started to preach. Anyway, parents kind of, things settled down a bit. And they were getting very worried because he was always, didn't seem to be interested in material life at all. They had plans to get him married, but he had no intentions whatsoever. He never entered the Grihastha ashram. So he then they would try to tie him up like Raghunath Das. The parents tried to keep guards on him all the time. One night he had a dream. Mahaprabhu came in the dream and told Narottam to go to Vrindavan. And there you will meet your guru, initiated guru. Yodhyad is a guru in the form of Nityananda. Your actual Diksha guru, he said, you will meet your Lokanath Goswami. You go there and take shelter of the lotus feet of Lokanath Goswami. Of course, it wasn't very easy. Parents were keeping constant vigilance on him. But eventually, there was some program called by one local king who wanted to see Lokanath. His fame was becoming quite, even then as a young teenager, he was becoming quite well renowned because he was such a great devotee. He was also very learned. This king wanted to see him, and the father didn't want to go, but they went. At this time, Narottam took the opportunity to escape and make his way towards Vrindavan through the jungles, a long journey. And the father sent out search parties on the way. They actually caught him a long way on his way towards Vrindavan, and somehow they found him. But he managed to talk his way out of it. And eventually he arrived in Mathura and stayed. He met one local devotee there who informed him, because also in one dream, Rupa and Sanatana had appeared to him in a dream, as many other great devotees had, beckoning to come to Vrindavan. So he was eager to get their association, because as a child, as a young, not as a child, but previously, Rupa and Sanatana had lived there in the same sort of area where he was born. So he was very eager to get their association. But then he heard that they passed away, Rupa, Sanatana, Raghunath Bhatta. So many of them had passed away. Kishishwara had already left the world. So he was very strong here in this news. And he proceeded on to Vrindavan. He went to the Radha Govinda temple, the temple built by under the auspices of Rupa Goswami. And there he went into ecstasy, literally lost consciousness. So meanwhile, news had spread, this personality had arrived in our town, and Jiva Goswami came to hear about it. So he immediately, Jiva Goswami, actually Rupa's Nanda told him to take direction from Jiva. So Jiva came to that place, and there was Narottam, after some time, came to consciousness and fell at the feet of Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami told him that he should take shelter and also of Lokanath Goswami as his guru. So he went to Lokanath Goswami and did everything he could to try to beg Lokanath Goswami for initiation. Lokanath Swami tested him. Lokanath Goswami made a vow to accept no disciples. Jiva also made, he took no disciples at all. Many of the greatest personalities, they had no disciples. They just taught. Siksha is more important than Diksha. So most of our acharyas are Sikshas. Their teaching is what counts. So Jiva was his Siksha. The Diksha, he went to Lokanath, and Lokanath said, no, I can't initiate you. I can't initiate. In fact, when Lokanath heard he was coming, Lokanath had been informed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then he made arrangements to accommodate him, feed him. But Narottam refused to sit on an equal level and eat at the same time, because he saw himself as, I'm not initiated, I'll come to you to beg for initiation. I cannot sit down and take and eat on the same level. I'm not even initiated. So, but Lokanath was not willing. So Lokanath said, well, you have to chant constantly the holy names for at least a year, then we'll see. So he did that for 1 year. But still, Lokanath would not initiate him. And so Narottam tried everything he could, rendering menial service to Lokanath Goswami in every way he could, even to the extent of secretly in the night going to the place where Lokanath would pass door, clearing everything up nicely and tidying up everything. Lokanath even knew that he disguised himself and saw who it was at the time, but still he would not initiate him. Time went on, and Narottam was becoming still more determined, and he stated different statements, just like a girl who was sold out to a man, and no one can change her mind, I've sold my heart to you, no matter what we do, and no one asks, it's no one, it's you. So that still he wouldn't initiate. And then eventually Lokanath, he had a dream, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in the dream and chastised him. I already told you before that he's coming as your disciple. You must accept him. So he said, all right, but only one disciple. So he eventually accepted him as his disciple. And Narottam continued to serve him, but Lokanath sent him to Jiva for direction. And Jiva, he joined Jiva Goswami along with Srinivas and Shamananda. They all studied, and many others also studied under Jiva, the Bhakti, the teachings of Bhakti Shastras, especially those compiled by the other Goswamis, Rupa and Sanatana, Jiva himself. They studied these scriptures. But eventually, the time had come to preach the message of all over, wherever they would go, Jiva Goswami wanted this message preached. So he sent them, famous story, he sent them on a bullock cart, and they went, three of them, with many other personalities also, companions, with the bullock cart, with many scriptures, all the Goswami scriptures basically, to go to preach, because there were no bookshops in those days. Everything was written by hand, no printing press, nothing. But there were very few books in general. So Narottam, he was one of those first three traveling Sankirtan party. But they were not distributing books so much. People would have to write it down if they wanted a copy. But they were taking the knowledge, the information, without any intention to go to Bengal or the rest of particular. And distribute Buddha's Samana Jiva's books like this, having them written down and then taught in those parts of the world. But on the way, of course, King Birhambir, he hijacked them, and all the scriptures were stolen. That's another story. And Srinivas, he stayed back. But Narottam and Shyamananda, they went on. They carried on after a while, even though the scriptures were stolen. Srinivas stayed back to try to recover them. And sure enough, he did in time. But meanwhile, Narottam and Shyamananda went on to Bengal. And traveled a little in Bengal. And they also came to Keturi Gram and preached in Keturi Gram. And then particularly Narottam, he actually didn't go back to Vrindavan, he stayed at Bengal. Mostly in Keturi Gram, although he did travel around, visiting all the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who were still on the planet, the sons of Advaita Acharya, Hridaya Chaitanya, Janavama, so many others who were still, Raghunandana, Thakur, so many of them were still on the planet. Most of them moved along like Advaita Acharya, Janavama, Srivas. Srivas's brothers were still around, but most of them moved on, prominent ones. But he visited their places, their homes, their places of pilgrimage and so on, like this. He travelled around and so in Bengal. But he based himself in Keturi, and he started preaching, and he made many, many disciples there in Bengal, many disciples. But one of the most prominent things that happened was that around about 30 or 40 years after Mahaprabhu's passing or leaving this world, there was very great difficulty in communication, of course, because no modern systems of communication. The world would be in different places all over the place, but generally speaking, communication was not very easy. So there were many different branches of Vaishnavism which had started to develop even after Mahaprabhu's departure, many different off splits and groups, Sahaja type groups, and different groups like that, that had started to form amongst the Vaishnavas, and things were getting very misty as to what was the actual teaching of Mahaprabhu or the Goswamis. So he decided, this expedition, he decided to hold a big festival in Keturi to try to call all the Vaishnavas together. And so he did, he arranged this big festival. But how to arrange a festival? He's a sannyasi, a renunciate. His mother and father had passed away, but they left because he was their only son, so they were really devastated when he left home. All their property, all their inheritance, who to leave it to. So mainly it was his Santosh, his cousin, who had inherited all of the family wealth. And Santosh had also become a disciple of Narottam. Most of his family members also became his disciples. Many Brahmins, rich people, many people had taken shelter of him. So Santosh was very rich and very happy to finance the whole thing. Said, we're going to invite all the Vaishnavas we can to this festival, so we have to have the best facilities, accommodation for each and every one of them, first class, everything. And they said they constructed within a very short period of time a big temple, a kirtan hall, a prasad distribution hall, many accommodation buildings, so that they could accommodate many, many people. And invitations were sent out to all the prominent Vaishnavas of the day. So sure enough, they chose the auspicious day, Gopinim. This was the first Gopinim festival to be held on Chaitanya's appearance day, which obviously had been recorded as on that particular Purnima day. So they chose that Purnima day. Narottam also appeared on Purnima day in the months of Magh. So they chose that day of Lord Chaitanya's appearance to have this festival. And they invited all the major, anyone they could connect, Vaishnav, to come. So the prominent Vaishnav, Janava Ma, the consul of Nityananda, she was like the senior ones to attend, and all the others, Vidya Chaitanya, and some of the others, Raghunandana Thakur, and Srivasa Thakur, and not Srinivasa Thakur, and all the others like that, prominent Srivasa's brothers, so many came, and Vaitacharya's sons, so many of them came there, this great festival, and because on the other side of the River Padma, which is a very wide river, so they'd arranged boats, very big boats, to transport all the devotees over, as these devotees came from different parts of India for this great festival, great gathering, Gopinim festival. They would pick up more devotees on the way, they would tell them what was going on. Gradually the numbers were swelling to the thousands. So everything was arranged. They picked them up in big boats and transferred them from the Ghat to the accommodation places in big bullock carts, beautiful bullock carts. And then they had this beautiful, first, every one of them had their own room and their own servant. And they treated them all with the highest respect. They all were received with sandalwood paste and garlands, bathing their feet in first class prasadam, thousands of them. He treated them all just like his guru. And then so many of them came, thousands. And then they had big kirtans, tremendous kirtans. And many significant things took place at this great, besides the wonderful reception and the initiation of the Gopinim festival. One of the main reasons was to try to resolve the differences and the deviations which had crept in amongst many of the devotees. So Jadama particularly, she was, you could say, the head of the assembly. She particularly preached and explained the Bhakti Shastras in such a way to resolve all the differences. And so that was one thing, major, conflict, two things, Gopinim plus resolving conflict resolution, so to speak. She's a real conflict resolve person. So another thing being that he installed many deities at this time under the auspices of Janavama. They installed many deities, six sets of deities, including Lord Chaitanya and Vishnu Priya deity, and five sets of Radhakrishna deities. They were also installed in beautiful temples there. And another major thing which occurred there was the kirtan. Narottam was famous for kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya had appeared in his dream again the night before at the opening day and said that tomorrow when you perform kirtan, I will definitely appear. So when all the devotees were doing kirtan, his Padyavali form of kirtan, very famous form of kirtan, when he was performing this kirtan, which was out of this world, everyone was just crying, and swooning, and dancing. He just carried everyone to the heights of Krishna consciousness. And was totally absorbed in the midst of that grand kirtan, which went on for hours and hours and hours. Everybody witnessed suddenly Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, Nityananda appeared, Advaita Acharya appeared, Srivasa Thakur, Gadadhar, Haridasa Thakur. They all appeared in the middle of the kirtan to start to dance in ecstasy. And this went on for hours and hours and hours. It seemed like forever throughout the night. They were performing this kirtan with the Panchatattva and all the other great devotees. And it appeared to everyone it was just going on for thousands of years. It seemed like it was for eternity. But it is for eternity. But this was another significant event. he established this form of kirtan, very traditional, very special form of kirtan, and lifted everyone to the heights of Krishna prema. So these things were achieved, and everyone was fed. Janabama, she personally fed everybody. She cooked it all, although she is the supreme goddess herself. She cooked all of herself and fed everybody, and wouldn't eat anything until everyone was finished and completely satisfied. So you can imagine what type of a shadow that would be. Amazing, what can you say? So then, after that great festival, there was much more unity amongst the Vaishnavas, communication, understanding, and so on, for some time at least. Narottam continued to preach. He had many rivals too, who considered, because he was not born a Brahmin, what right has he got to initiate? He should have the rights to initiate. But he was so learned and so pure and so humble that most people surrendered and accepted the fact that he was more than qualified to initiate. And Janabama also, she preached on this very strongly, that it was not one's birth that counts, but one's qualification, which enables one, entitles one to be a spiritual master, and more than a Brahmin. Some of his disciples, but some of them were very Brahmin, they were from Brahmin families. He was criticized for initiating Brahmins also, not just initiating. So some people, they weren't convinced. They wanted to challenge this, and they approached a nearby king who he wasn't into it, but anyway, he went along with it, so he arranged that they would approach Narottam and ask him what right does he think he has to do this. So Narottam said, "All right, please come and we can discuss it openly. No problems, and whatever the decision is, I'll accept." So a big group of these Mahants, or these learned persons, great scholars, Brahmins, together with the king and his son men, they went on the path towards Kateri Gram. So in the meantime, knowing what was going to happen, two of his leading disciples, they decided they would protect their spiritual master from this insult, you could say. So they disguised themselves as simple shopkeepers. One of them was selling clay pots, the other one was selling betel nuts. And they set up little shops just outside of Kateri. And there in those shops they were selling these things. And then when the big party came with the Mahants and the king and his men on the road which passed by those shops, they called them over to get their utensils and their betel nuts and things. So they all went over. And they studied him as a chap. And they were shocked to see that these two simple shopkeepers were speaking Sanskrit. My God, this is very unusual. Simple, poor shopkeepers speaking Sanskrit like this. And they were discussing, then they started discussing philosophy, and these two shopkeepers defeated them. And then the Rupa Narayan, the one, the main antagonizer, came over. And he, also a bit surprised to hear that these Brahmins have been humiliated by two shopkeepers. So he came over and he started to talk also. After some time they defeated him also. So he thought, my God, he went to the king, he said, I don't think we should proceed any further. If just the mere shopkeepers in this town can defeat us, then what to speak of the Brahmins, and what to speak of Narottam in this town? I think we should leave, or the movie will be completely humiliated. And then they revealed themselves as who they were, and the whole party, Rupa Narayan, everyone, they surrendered, also became disciples. Many of Narottam died, disciples there from different places also. Some of his disciples were from Manipur, they went back to Manipur, and there they established, it was Narottam who established Vaishnavism in Manipur. To this very day, Manipur is considered a Vaishnava state due to Narottam Das's disciples preaching there. So in this way, Narottam was very significant in our line and discernment devotional service. And as we heard, he was eternal in the situation with Champakalato, Champakamanjaro, Vilasamanjari. And his business is to boil the milk. So it's the pleasure of the Lord. So our business also, following in his footsteps, is to boil the milk. You can also literally boil the milk. Boiling the milk, Prabhupada would use this term to refer specifically to, say, when you boil the milk, it becomes condensed, becomes thick. You get the essence. So, in devotional service, Prabhupada said we have to boil the milk to keep the flame burning until it becomes condensed, pure, no impurities. So, in fact, one time when he was traveling, when he was very thirsty and he was traveling through the forests, and very hungry, nothing to eat. So when old lady came by, and she fed him milk. She fed him hot milk, and it was actually was right around. He didn't recognize at that time. Later on, he realized because that was his. The dreams, as you feed me boiling milk for my pleasure in my pastimes, I'm also feeding you for your pleasure, like this. So this is Narottam Das, a little summary of some of his life and some of his experiences and contributions in our line. He is very significant. He also wrote many songs. He was a big preacher. Many disciples, and his songs were written in simple Bengali, because generally people couldn't read; they were mostly illiterate. So he would write these songs with all the teaching of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the songs. Our songbook is maybe a good percentage of the songs from compilations of Narottam Das. Most of the songs that come from Prajna, which was compiled by Narottam, and Bhakti Prem Chandrika, famous compilation. And some songs like Sri Guru Chana Padma, which we sing every morning, Bhakti Prem Chandrika, and many of the songs written by Narottam, which became worshipable practically by Vaishnavas, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And so that people in general could understand through singing these songs in very simple language the teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the truth which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was distributing, could be understood by singing these wonderful songs of Narottam. Till this very day, people still sing these songs regularly in Bengal. There is something, not so much, but in Bengal particularly, the beautiful song. So we'll finish with one more song. He put the Nam Sankirtan, Hari Varai, or Hari Namakrishna version. He made this into a song, which we sing regularly. Kauranga Valita Hari, Prabhupada's favorite, Hari Hari Bifale. So many beautiful songs describing the Guru, our relationship with the Guru, our relationship with Lord Chaitanya, the relationship between Lord Chaitanya and the Supreme Prabhupada and Krishna, and the beautiful song, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Nitai Mada Kamalam, Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, Vrindavan. These are just a few of them, there are so many more. We'll sing Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, which was a favorite of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, who requested that this should be sung when he was about to leave the world. This song to Rupa Manjari, or Rupa Goswami. I don't know what page or what sheet it's on. It's on page 81 in the Brown song. Song sheets. Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, simple song. This is from Prajna.
Thank you.
Songbook, please. Some places they have no songbooks.